Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, it's Jill Schlesinger. I'm launching a new show. It's called Money Moves, and your money is going to move. We're going to help you make better financial decisions. We're going to call out the BS you're finding all over social media. We're going to give you actionable guidance to make your financial life clearer, less stressful. We're going to answer your financial questions and take the mystery out of your financial life. Follow and listen to Money Moves with Jill Schlesinger wherever you get your podcasts.
Anybody, anywhere,
anywhere. It's time to take command with former NFL tight end Logan Paulson.
This pass caught by Paulson, the tight end.
And from 106.7 The Fan, Grant Paulson.
What's up? Welcome in to Take Command. Logan Paulson spent a decade moving the pile and pushing people around in the National Football League. I did not, but together, combined, we have caught some touchdowns, which is cool. You can listen to me on 106.7 The Fan each and every day from 2 to 6.30. I'm Grant Paulson. Producer Evan O'Brien is behind the scenes making everything sound smooth. All right, Logan, we have been working our way through both sides of the ball. If you've missed our offensive or defensive breakdowns on Take Command, all four teams in the division ranked by position group, go check that out. I think that's some good content for people as we get closer to camp. Today's episode is going to be ranking the coaches and the special teams units. And if we have time, we're going to get to a couple of mailbag questions as well. But we'll start right at the top with head coaches. You know, interestingly, Nick Sirianni is like a DJ Khaled song. All that guy does is win. It kind of feels like Nick Sirianni is just driving the best car that ever has been. Like, he's been given the keys to this Ferrari. And I know I'm like disrespectful in that way to him because I'm sure there's something he's doing well to be 59 and 26 and 85 games and to have a Super Bowl title and two Super Bowl appearances. But he is just the silliest of geese. Then you have Brian Schottenheimer, who I outspokenly crushed when he was hired last year as kind of this undeserving NFL head coach. He really impressed me. I thought he did a really good job.
Killed it. Yeah.
Yeah. He was very strong. In New York, there's this guy named John Harbaugh in his first year. All he's done is put together a Hall of Fame caliber resume as one of the longest tenured coaches in the National Football League, coming over from Baltimore. And then we've got DQ Dan Quinn here in the nation's capital, 2 years in, an NFC title game appearance, and then obviously a bit of a clunker last year for him. So take it where you want to. Those are your four head coaches in the division.
Yeah, I always have a hard time with the head coaches specifically because there's nothing that they're doing necessarily that, to me, we have access to, right? Because we talked about this a couple weeks ago, right? Head coaches specifically who are non-play calling, it's really hard to determine like what they do on a day-to-day. Like, we get to see Dan. We get to see the culture. We get to see the guys here for OTAs at 100% attendance. Like, and I think that's a testament to him. Obviously, the most important metric the fans look at is he winning games? I personally have always believed that's more of a coordinator thing, especially when you're kind of an administrative head coach. So, like, I think it's a good decision that we kind of said, hey, I want to move on from the DC. I want to move a different direction on the offensive side of the football. And we've got guys in here that I think are going to help us win more football games and help us get that done. So that's just as an example, Dan Quinn, who's really familiar with him. But, like, what is John Harbaugh doing up in, you know, with New York? Like, I've heard in Baltimore that he has a very rigorous practice schedule, right? He likes to kind of work this kind of physical approach. It's one of the reasons Dexter Lawrence wanted to leave, right? You mentioned Nick Sirianni. Like, how do you weigh what he's done other than the resume, right? He's won Super Bowls. He's coaching the best team in football. Like, that's where this conversation to me is tough. You know, Schottenheimer is an interesting one to me because he called plays. Right. He's got an OC on staff who I really like, and I want to give him a high grade when we get to the offensive coordinator stuff because I think he's doing a special job. So maybe that's where you add the value. But I really don't know, because I think if you took Dan Quinn and had him coach the Eagles the last 3 years, we're probably having a very similar conversation about, is Dan Quinn the best coach in the division? I don't know. That's where this conversation with head coaches specifically, I find it to be very, very challenging to kind of parse out. So if we're just going on resume, you got to go probably Sirianni, Harbaugh, and then I think it's Dan Quinn, Schottenheimer, flip a coin there, and we'll figure it out.
Yeah, so I think you just said it well. It's always hard to figure out, like, what am I ranking this based on, okay? Because, like, you played for Dan Quinn, and you've said on this podcast that the most fun you ever had playing in the NFL was with DQ, and, like, that guy just does it in a way that players love. And I've seen that externally from the outside in, and just being around him at camp or whenever I have been in limited capacities over the last couple summers and then whenever I get out there, you know, you can see that it's authentic. Like, the shtick that you see at the podium, or, you know, he is just a real, he is himself, and players really, really like him. So, like, if we're doing a, who would you want to play for?
Yeah,
sure. I think he's high on that list. But if we have to base it on just results, which is like Baseball Manager, how much of this is your fault? You're managing a team, right, that was built to get, you know, 79 wins or whatever. Kind of a weird exercise, but I think it's chalky. How could you do it any other way than what you just did? All right. Sirianni's done is win in Philadelphia. It feels like, you know, he luck box. He was born on third base a little bit there, but you got to give him some credit, I suppose, even though he's a bit of a goose. Harbaugh is a future Hall of Famer who has had nothing but success. Now, he hasn't done it with the Giants, to your point, but I can't put a guy that routinely had his teams over 500 in the playoffs, you know, has hardware. I can't move him down the board all that extensively. So now you're debating between Schottenheimer, who I thought did a really good job last year, and Dan Quinn, who had a terrible season in the building, whether that was all his fault or injuries or what have you. It was just a disaster. But you know what Schottenheimer doesn't have? He doesn't have the year where he got to the NFC title game and completely changed the culture in a season. So I think you have to put Quinn over Shoddy. And
I agree.
I just have a hard time with any other ranking than that right now.
Yeah, I think I agree. And it's maybe not fair because we don't know those guys. You know, like, I know guys who played for John Harbaugh. And, you know, they say very positive things about him. There's things they like, the things they don't like, right? I know guys that have played for Sirianni. There's things they like, the things they don't like.
I was going to say, do you talk to guys at all that have played for Sirianni? I'm fascinated by him. Like, it seems like a lot of his coaches and he constantly butt heads.
And that's honestly what the players said. It's like he kind of likes it to be messy. He likes people to be unsettled. He likes this.
How
kind
is that
of
a good thing?
I don't know. I think for him, it kind of breeds this environment of like hyper competitiveness, hyper edginess, right? Which I guess works, you know, like when you kind of say like, oh, this is like, that's, you can't get that done. That's not going to work. Then that coach goes back and says, you know what? Forget you, dude. I'm going to make this thing work. So you definitely got to have kind of the right people around that, you know? And again, like, I think another reason that he's, this is more kind of talking with agents and other people around the league, that they like him there is because he is totally comfortable being second fiddle to the GM there. And I think that's another reason why that relationship is super important.
That's a good point. And like, I should acknowledge, I mean, it sounds like I'm beating up on him a little bit, but there's a skill to some of the stuff he does. That's right. Immense too. I mean, you have to be willing to not be the star of the show in Philadelphia. And like, a lot of guys aren't that way. Like, my favorite coach is Kyle Shanahan. Like, he's going to throw his weight around a little bit and get his elbows in there. There's a lot of guys that have an ego to them and want to be kind of the sun in the solar system. And Sirianni doesn't seem to be that way. But I will say, when you look at like Stoutland leaving and just some of the stuff that's happened, and every year Vic Fangio by the end of the year is like, I might have to retire. Like, I don't know what's going, you know? Like, and then like a month goes by and he's like, I'll deal with him again.
Yeah.
The coordinator so that they run through.
So that to me is something that I don't love. Like, if I was a player, I'd be like, I don't really like this. You know what I mean? I don't really like that we're always kind of unsettled, that we're always challenging stuff, we're always kind of upsetting the apple cart and talking smack to everybody. But it works for him, and it works in that environment in Philly. He does feel like the perfect Philly coach, because isn't it, like you said this about the fan base, like on our last show, like they are a little bit of an edgy group. And so why not have a coach that's an edgy person? And it just seems like it works there hand in glove. And like you said, he might have been born on third base, but dude has just won with a quarterback that you and I are both kind of on the fence about, right? I mean, best roster in football last couple of years makes up for a lot. And a guy that, like, as I said this to my brother, who is a huge Jalen Hurts fan, and it's like, all he does is win. He's the man. And I'm like, yeah, like, he deserves, like, Jalen Hurts deserves credit, right? He deserves credit for managing, for driving a Ferrari as best as he can. But I think that somebody else could have driven it faster, right? And so I kind of feel the same way at times about Sirianni, to be honest with you. But again, they've driven that thing to multiple first place finishes. So, like, what can you say?
Yeah, I think that's well said. All right, let's get into coordinators. Let's go OCs. Cowboys have Clayton Adams, who's a bit of an unknown, but got some rave reviews around the league last year for not only design and concept. It's always hard when a guy doesn't call plays. I'm pretty sure Brian Schottenheimer calls their plays.
So this is one of those things. We did this show. I did this show last year with Craig, and I remember looking at his resume. And his resume, I thought, could not have been more perfect to be an OC. And then he came in, and he has all this really diverse. He's from the spread. He runs pro style. He was an O-line coach. He was a pass game coordinator. He's a run game coordinator. And he just took all that stuff and, to me, constructed an offense that, you know, like we talk about David Blau, like, what's he going to do? That constructed an offense that was different than Kyle's, but operated on, like, the same principles, the things we love, where things look the same. We're able to kind of hide stuff for formation. We're able to get into good run looks. We're able to maximize our personnel and our playmakers, put the quarterback in a good position to be successful. And I really think he does an excellent job, right? Quite honestly, excellent job with his role there in terms of designing that offense.
Yo, it's Jay Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer,
SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait. There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino
and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, you'll hear true stories that will intrigue you, inspire you, and make you laugh.
He said, is there anything in your diet that might be spiking your blood sugar? I said, sometimes I eat pizza until I'm unconscious. He said, I think that might be it.
For real stories live on stage from comedians, astronauts, accountants, farmers, and people just like you, follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, he is, to your point, he's been all over the place. I mean, he started his college coaching career as, like, a grad assistant in 05 at Boise State, O-line run game coordinator for a couple years at really small D2. Then he was at the FCS, tight ends, O-lines. Then he went to Colorado, played, you know, big boy football there, running backs and tight ends, O-line coach there, co-offensive coordinator at Colorado for a year, assistant O-line in the NFL as a 36-year-old with the Colts for a couple years. Then he did tight ends. Then he did O-line with the Cardinals. And then he became the OC for the Cowboys. I don't remember like that being a story or anything. Obviously, I was not doing the pod with you a year ago. But you're right. When you read that resume, you're like, it's all run game stuff. It's tight ends. It's O-line. You're like, this probably works. And their run game was really, really well put together and coordinated last year. He's actually been the coordinator there now for the last couple of seasons. Obviously, you know, Shoddy was involved in the organization and got elevated. But it's always hard for me when a guy doesn't call the plays. And my sense is, you see Schottenheimer calling the plays. But I know that people around the league are like, dude, this guy's really, really good. He did a good job. So I give him credit there. Sean Mannion's a first-year offensive coordinator with the Eagles, former NFL quarterback very recently. I heard rave reviews on this guy for a couple years. Very David Blau-ish, honestly.
Interesting.
And one of the people I talked to a lot about him was Kirk Cousins over the last several seasons. Like, he thinks this guy's going to be an awesome coach. He played with him, was his backup in Minnesota. They had a good relationship. Blau, who similarly was with Cousins in Minnesota in that Kevin O'Connell offense as well, cut from a similar cloth. And then you've got Matt Nagy, a retread former head coach with the Bears, been around with the Chiefs and Andy Reid. He'll be the OC with the Giants. So how do you put together a list for OCs here?
Yeah, this is tough because, you know, I just talked about it. I like the way the offense was designed with Clayton Adams, how I like it. I think he deserves a lot of credit for that. And then you get Sean Mannion, who's doing it for the first time, and David Blau, who's doing it for the first time. And then Matt Nagy, who's a retread. Like, personally, however, this, I have a hard time with this because I how do I phrase this and not sound like a total, like, Matt Nagy to me is a guy that it worked when he was in Kansas City. It hasn't worked anywhere else. He runs like this college RPO system, which they're going to try to bring in to help Jackson Dart, because that's what he did at Ole Miss. It seems to be in conflict with what John Harbaugh has traditionally done. I don't like the fit. I don't like the philosophy necessarily. Again, it kind of goes against things that I think are fundamentally important to football. We're going to marry formations. We're going to kind of sell, run, and pass together. He doesn't really do that, right? Like, their run game is the quarterback elevating in terms of RPO and making decisions, and I just think that's tough ball. I like the offense Sean Mannion's coming from. I've had multiple conversations with David Blau, and every single time I come away more impressed, I'm like, man, that reminded me of Sean McVay, or man, that reminded me of how Kyle talks about that stuff, right? So I'm high on David Blau, but both those guys haven't done it. And even though I like those offenses that they're coming from, they haven't done it. And Matt Nagy, good, bad, and different, has had success in the league calling plays. So that's where I have a hard time with this offensive coordinator list, because, you know, Clayton Adams is the one that I kind of identify most closely with because the construction's good, but like you said, he doesn't call plays. So do you have to put Matt Nagy too because he's had success, and then we kind of got to figure out what to do with the young guys? I don't know. It just is hard because, again, it goes against what I think works in the NFL.
Yeah, because two of these guys have not yet done it. Well, the way I'm going to rank this is actually goes against what we've done for a couple pods. I'm going to basically do the OC that I would want for my team right now. Okay. And so I'm going to go Blau one. I'm going to go Mannion two, yeah, with big upside. I'm going to go Adams three, which is not fair to him because he's done a good job, but he was just not seen on being on the rocket ship that these other two guys, sure, are on. And I kind of like the idea of the trend of the recent quarterback. And then I'll go Nagy fourth. But yeah, I mean, if we're ranking on resume, the other two guys have never done this. So they have to be third and fourth in whichever order you want to put them in. And then I guess Nagy would have to be second because he has done it, even though that's not always great. I mean, there's mixed results there. He's done some good. And then he's right, he's Matt Nagy'd it a little bit too, right? Like, so...
But I will say this to your point.
That was an unexciting hire. Like, if I was a Giants fan, when I found out that we're hiring Matt Nagy as an OC, I would have been disappointed. And that is the opposite of how I felt when you go with, like, a Mannion or a Blau.
100%. And so, like, and again, I've talked to Blau, and every time I talk to him, I'm like, oh, I love that. I love how he's talking about that. I love how he's thinking about it. So for me, the more I've been around him, the more I'm like, dude, yeah, like, that's the guy I want helming this ship. I think he's so ready for this. Like, you know, even though he hasn't had a lot of background, like, he sold me every time I talk to him. I'm just like, yeah. So I agree with you. Like, if I want a guy, it's him. It's probably Sean Mannion again, because he's coming from like this rocket ship. You know, he's coming from the Matt LaFleur tree. I love Clayton Adams to me. Like, again, doesn't call plays, but I like what he's done in construction there. Then be Matt Nagy. That's how I personally would do it. But again, if we're kind of saying like, resumes are important here, you got to do it a different way. And I just don't like doing it that other way. I want to do it the way where I'm excited about the list that we're putting out. So I'm going to put David Blau one.
All right, let's go to the defensive coordinator spot next. Working our way through the coaching staffs. We'll also hit specialists as well. It's been a fun few episodes as we're diving deep into the division, scouting the opponents a little bit. Logan Paulson, Grant Paulson, take command.
As the U.S. men's national team takes center stage at a home World Cup, make sure you're listening to Call It What You Want, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can join me, I'm Jimmy Conrad, alongside Charlie Davies, Tony Miola, Marcelo Balboa, and Benny Feilhaber throughout this tournament for previews, instant reactions, and analysis of every U.S. match. Then all summer, we're back every Tuesday and Thursday, covering all things U.S. men's national team. Download and follow Call It What You Want on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, this is Richard Deitch, the host of the Sports Media Podcast. If you're interested in what's happening with all the places where you consume sports, the Sports Media Podcast has you covered.
I've been turning down interviews all week. Hoda Kotb reached out, Oprah, George Stephanopoulos. So I said no. I was booked on the Deitch Podcast before the Taylor Swift phenomenon. I must live up to my responsibility.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.